Time to get your accounts in order. Bridget Finke joins us once again from Valley Crossing Law, an attorney at Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area. And Bridget works a lot with farmers and maybe exclusively for putting your plans together for the next generation and whatever needs to be. And we're going to talk about some of that as we go along. But first of all, Bridget, here we are in June Dairy Month. Have you had a chance to get to any dairy breakfast yet or enjoy any of the good things from Wisconsin this month?
Well, you know, I haven't yet, but I know for sure on the 23rd I'm going to be down in Pepin County. The Bauer family at 4C Dairy is going to be hosting, and I know for sure I'm going to be at that one.
All right. Well, we'll be there too, so we'll look forward to seeing you.
Okay.
All right. Maybe we'll break pancakes or whatever they're going to be serving down there together, or scrambled eggs. We'll find something, that's for sure. But, you know, you work with a family like that, 4C Dairy, the Bauer family. There's a lot of people in that. And, you know, you got brothers, moms and dads and wives and everything else. And as you put those plans together with the operators, but what about if they have kids and they want to get them involved? Can they just say, well, let's put Johnny on our bank account or our checking account? Is that getting him involved? And is that solving the problem of helping that next generation come onto the farm?
Well, you know, I get asked about bank accounts a lot. And I think it's one way that people think they can just, you know, take care of the estate planning by themselves. Is, hey, I took care of it. I went to the bank, told them to add my child to my bank account. And then my ears immediately perk up and I start asking more questions. And I say, well, how did you add them to the account? Because there's kind of three different ways that we can have another person on the account. One is to make them a joint account holder.
Mm-hmm.
One is to make them a power of attorney or have signature authority on the account. And one is to make them payable on death beneficiary on the account. And all those things serve different purposes. And I find that the one that gets used the most is actually the joint account, because people are really concerned that when I die, I don't want my account to be locked down. I want someone to be able to pay my bills. And the problem with that is most of the time when people do that,
they can pay their own bills too out of that account.
Exactly. They have no duty to use that money for the benefit of mom and dad. And you can imagine when I introduced that idea, what a mom and dad say to me?
Oh, I trust my kids.
And that's great. And, you know, most of the time it's not a child taking the money. But I'll tell you, I really saw the downside of this when we had the big housing crash and really good Johnny and Sally's that lost their jobs, Their creditors were sure interested in them being joint account holders on mom and dad's money. So that creditor can come in and pull out 100% of that money, no recourse to mom and dad, certainly no, you know, fault of that child. And so I always encourage people to be very, very careful about whether that is really the right option.
So you're saying maybe payable on death is the way to do it, is the best way, is option 1A?
Well, number one, if the thing is you want them to be able to write checks during your lifetime, then you can do that power of attorney. Mm-hmm. If you want them to get the money when you die, then payable on death.
So what's the, before we get into that, So what's the difference between power of attorney or having the first option of joint ownership of the account?
Mm-hmm. Joint ownership, you're equal owners. You're both considered owners on that account. As a power of attorney, you are acting as agent for the actual owner. So it's Bob's money, and I'm just writing checks on Bob's behalf, and I have a fiduciary duty to do what's in his best interest and to make good business decisions.
But that person has no right to that money for their own use.
Exactly, and no ownership on that account. So if Bridget's the one who gets in trouble and has creditors looking for money, can't get at Bob's account just because Bridget has power of attorney authority on it. So it creates that separation, legal separation.
Boy, that's very, very important to make that distinction. And then transferable on death then. How does that fit, and what's maybe an appropriate way to be using that?
So the payable on death designation just says whatever's in that account, then when I die, here's where I want it to go to. So it really functions like a beneficiary designation on a life insurance policy, which is what people are more familiar with. And so, you know, people like to use that as a nice probate avoidance tool, right? We don't need the court's help to get the asset transferred because we put it right on the asset. It's a great tool in the right circumstances. What I really don't like is when people go in and on all the cash, they put beneficiary payable on death. All the cash goes, but hey, we've got all the real estate still that needs to go through probate. Well, now we've got an asset that costs us money. It's got taxes to pay, it's got insurance to pay, and we've got no cash to accomplish it. And so that payable on death is a great tool in the toolbox, but we want to make sure that all those tools work together to get us to the right end destination.
So we shouldn't be thinking of this as a shortcut to a plan that we need to keep the operation going for future generations.
For sure. And the other thing is people who put power of attorney on the checking account, sometimes they tell me, I don't need a financial power of attorney. Got it taken care of. They're right on the account. Keep in mind, that's account specific. And being able to write checks out of that one account is a small piece of the puzzle. Not going to let them transfer from savings into checking. Not going to let them sell cattle, sell land, do any of the other, you know, wide range of financial and business issues that may need to be taken care of on a daily basis when it comes to a farm.
So again, how do we decide then how we do that as far as putting somebody on that account versus the overall financial plan for the future?
Yeah, you want to make sure those pieces fit together and make that use of, you know, potential joint account or whatever the case may be, one piece of your overall puzzle. Make sure you're looking at the big picture first before we start looking at those individual assets underneath.
So this shouldn't be the first thing you do. The major program or your major plan should be the first thing, and then maybe you want to fine-tune this on it. Now that you got this in place and on the shelf, now let's deal with some of the more day-to-day issues by doing it that way?
Exactly, because really who has their name on the checkbook is when it comes to a farm,
right,
is a really small piece of things. For someone like me who lives in town, you know, yeah, that might be one of your main tools that you're going to utilize. But when it comes to an operating farm situation, you know, this is much lower on the priority list as opposed to your overall plan.
And I would assume this is something that could slip through the cracks. You go into the bank and say, well, you know, I want to have Jimmy or Sally be able to do this. And they might just say, well, joint account.
Exactly.
And then talk to an expert even on this.
Well, and it's why when people, you know, gnash their teeth when I say, hey, to get started, I got to know what you own and I need to know how everything is titled. And they say, why do you need to know that? Well, because if I do a financial power of attorney that puts Bob in charge, but you've put Bridget on the checkbook, well, now we got an inconsistency. And so we need to make sure everything fits together and is moving in the same direction.
Wow, there's a little, every time we talk, I learn a whole lot more and more things we should be doing. And of course, a lot of farmers, if they haven't started these plans, should be doing it right now. How do we get a hold of you, Bridget, over at Valley Crossing Law?
You can give us a call at 715-688-4045 or check us out on wisconsinfarmlaw.com.
Very good. Bridget Finke, attorney with Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area, with us once again to talk about your money and making sure you keep it in the family for future generations.